I'm sure that some of you at least would be aware of the ACTS, A-C-T-S, the ACTS prayer model, if you will. And I don't know the right words to call it. It's not something that I have come up with. It's been around for quite a while. And it's the A-C-T-S is an acrostic, right? Is that what you would call it? It would A stands for something, C stands for something, T stands for something, and S stands for something to help us be men and women of prayer. Just some very practical steps to be able to be men and women of prayer. Because one thing that I want to be is a man of prayer. Some of that comes easier for some of you than others. But this model, just this very practical thing, can kind of help us and guide us through the prayer, being people of prayer. And if we look at that, the acts of the A is the prayers of adoration. It's the adoration or adoring God as a prayer that praises God. And you find yourself in prayer that just praises God, recognizing His character and what He does and those things. And you're just speaking those things out. And maybe in your heart or maybe externally, you find yourself in prayer, but in prayers of adoration. It's a great place to start because I think it'll build confidence in who we're praying to if we realize and speak it out, not to remind God who He is. He full on remembers who He is, but to remind us, and even if we're praying with someone else, to remind them that who He is and who we are addressing here and who we are and how much love He has for us. Those prayers of adoration. The prayers of confession would be the C, and that's the heart searching prayer, where you're searching your own heart. And I've joked around a couple of times, you're not searching someone else's heart. It's not, God doesn't need you to confess someone else's sin. Just it's that interpersonal working inside of you to be able to help you in your confession or cleaning the slate with God. And God will take us in seasons of prayers of confession. And if we don't have the prayer of adoration and remembering that God is a loving, gracious, merciful God, you're probably not as apt to have prayers of confession. You're just not. Because you think you're confessing to some wicked king or some bent system. This is not. This is God. This is prayer. And then the T would be the thanksgiving. And just spending time in thanksgiving and praying to God. I spent a year when I was in Lancaster Bible College writing my prayers out every day for a year. And then I would write one page of prayer and then I would write one page of thanksgiving. And I found it interesting that by the end of the year, if I look back what I was praying for in January and February, I found myself being thankful for God in November and December. It's a great exercise to do, just to write those out. And it builds our confidence in God, that God is hearing us and God is doing something in our lives. Thanksgiving, we get unappreciative in our lives at times. We don't step back and spend a season of thanksgiving in our prayer, which we need to do. If not, we're kind of ungrateful brats, just to be honest. And so, and then there's prayers of supplication. And supplication is not only do the founders of this need an S probably for acts, but also it's a request, but a request made to one in authority. So it's a request on steroids type of deal. It's not just any request. It's a request made to someone in authority. So a supplication is more than just your run-of-the-mill request. It's not your drive-through, and I'd like a Whopper and a fry. It's not that. That's a request. That's not a supplication. Okay, you don't go through the drive-through at McDonald's and say, "Do you have a supplication?" No, that's not it. It's just you just tell them what you want. But in God's world, a supplication is deeper than that in my thoughts, in my estimation. And the prayers of supplication are come in two different levels. The first level would be the supplication of petition. And that's a request we make for ourselves. A petition is something you make for yourself. We see these words in the Bible, and sometimes I just like to take a moment just to let you know what they are. A petition is something that you, it's a supplication for yourself. So a supplication, petitions. And then there's supplication, intercessions. Requests we make on behalf of others. We intercede for someone else. A petition, we're spending time with God, and we're having this request, these deep requests to God for ourselves. And then there's other times when it's not about you. You are in the prayer closet, so to speak, and you're doing business for someone else. That's a supplication. You're still requesting something from someone who is in authority, who has the ability to release that into your life or someone else's life. But you're in there to do a business for someone else. That's called intercession. There is a gift of intercession, and some of you have that gift, and I know who you are, many of you, and you often will get the prayer request. And I give you those sensitive ones. I can often will pass those on. Are we all men and women of prayer? Absolutely. The Bible tells us that we are to be men and women of prayer. There is a spiritual gift of intercession. I don't know if there's a spiritual gift of petitioning. I'm not sure of that. We'll have to do some research on that. But there definitely is a spiritual gift of intercession. A supplication is not a command. You can push the button. It's not a command. You're not commanding God to do anything. It's not a name it, claim it type of thing. It's not when you say it, God's got to jump. It's not that. That's not a supplication. It's a request made to someone in authority. But it's not a command to the one in authority. You don't have, it's above your pay grade to tell God what to do. There is a God, you ain't Him. But you can bring a supplication to Him. You know that He's in authority. You can bring that to Him, but you cannot command Him. I would be scared to have a God I could command. It's not a superficial request, not a drive-through type of deal. And I'm not saying there isn't times when I'm driving down the road and say, oh, Lord, bless that person along the highway. They've got trouble. The tow truck is there. Just, Lord, help them figure it out and on your way. And see, that's to me is a little different level of request. But it's not a superficial request. Not even the word superficial is off the quick and off the cuff type thing. It's not that. It's not a manipulation. If you're not manipulating God. God, if you do this, then I'll go to church 3 times in a row. God, you're going to, you know, if maybe I'll go to church 3 times in a row, then you can show up. I go to church 3 times in a row. He doesn't do it. Apparently, there's not a God. And maybe it's not that simple in our life, but often we come to those conclusions, and it's not that. What it is a heart-pleading request. It's a passionate request. It comes from our heart. It's also, I think, a persistent request that I'm persistent in this. I am not going to give up in this. I am going after this. And I think it's a confident request. I think some of you are, in a good way, are terribly confident in the request you're seeking God for. Don't give up. Don't give up. It's a confident request. It's a persistent request. It's a heart-pleading request. It's not begging, oh God, you know, and cut myself, and maybe God will take notice if I scream louder. It's not that, but it comes from the heart. It's a heart-pleading request. It's a persistent request, and it is a confident request. And I find myself this week, as I'm just processing these things, in James chapter 5. And James chapter 5 and verse 14 says this: the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. And this is right on the heels of someone. If someone is sick among you, let him call together the elders of the church. Let him call together the people of the church. Let him call together those who love God and love Him. Let them call them together in supplication, intercession for him. Or her, I get that. So this I know, it says your intercessions, your supplications for someone else are powerful and effective. That's what, it's a direct correlation to that intercession. And then the next verses, which we don't often go to, are this. Elijah, which this kind of rattled my chain, was a man just like us. I always thought kind of Elijah was like the, you know, he's like the MVP. I get to be on the team, but, you know, I'm kind of like the guy who comes in and just, you know, blocks one play. I'm not the quarterback that plays. I'm not the running back. And Elijah might be the quarterback and running back. I'm just kind of the guy on the end. I'm just the guy. No, that's not. He said he's just the guy just like you. And now you go back and start studying Elijah and say, he's just a guy like me. I can be like Elijah then. I can have that same confidence that Elijah had, that same persistency that Elijah had, that same heart pleading that Elijah had. And I can intercede. I can have supplication. I can make a request to one in authority, just like Elijah did. Look what he said. He prayed earnestly, which in the Greek is just means he prayed and he prayed. And he prayed. And he prayed, and he prayed, and he prayed, and he prayed, and he prayed. And he prayed again, and he prayed again, and he prayed again. He prayed that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. And I said this on men's group. You know how often I think he prayed for rain in 3.5 years? Every single day. I think he got up and he prayed that it would not rain because God said pray for that. I think he was persistent in that. And then again, he prayed, not earnestly, because why? And the heavens gave rain and the earth produced its crop. Just so you know, this is not a random Old Testament scripture married with James. James, the brother of Jesus, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, married these two things together. You want me to tell you, I think he says, let me tell you how powerful your prayers are. You're just like Elijah. And he prayed persistently for 3.5 years, and it did not rain. And one day he got up and God said, why don't you start praying for rain? I'll do that. And he prayed and it rained. Powerful. Supplication is a request that when it is answered, it takes notice. It is noticed. A supplication, when it is answered, it is noticed. Psalm 35 is a prayer of supplication. It is pretty clear that it's supplication, petition. It is pretty clear that David is praying for himself. David is in the middle of a great challenge, a trial, a suffering, a pain, an ache. I found myself this week just calling it an ache. He's in the middle of an ache. Some of us, 7 of us, went to Erie this past week. There was a business that was closing up there, and they had offered some of the stuff that, from their business for us to donate to us to do ministry with or to sell or to do whatever we needed to do with those things to create a more income or more use of the product that they were giving us. And so 7 of us left here at 6 o'clock on Monday morning, and we drove to Erie with 3 trailers and a big box truck, and we filled it all and we drove home. But while we were there, the owner of the business that was closing was there and helping us, and the two owners of the business were there. And in a short time, or just I come in the door, and it was, and Emily had said, Becky is wondering if we can just pause for a minute and pray. And so we all come back in the door, and Becky started to share the story of her friend that just got a text from her friend. And his 31-year-old daughter had just been sent home on hospice. Cancer was wreaking havoc, and the doctor said, we can do no more. I don't know about you, but all of a sudden, something started to happen. And then she went on to say, and she said, and she lost her 33-year-old sister just 3 years ago. And her dad's name is this. All of a sudden, I started to feel the ache in my body. I started to feel physically. I felt my chest. I felt my arms. I felt my back. I felt my legs. I felt everything begin to get tight. I felt the ache of this man who had lost a daughter and this other daughter that's hanging in the balance. And I felt the ache for the three children of the first daughter and the three children of the second daughter. And I felt the ache for the husband of the first daughter and the husband of the second daughter. And I felt the ache. I began to feel. And we began to pray. And I found my words. And I just was praying. And all of a sudden I stopped and someone else, and I heard people agreeing, and I heard, oh, yes, do it, Lord, and I heard those things. And then I paused and I heard someone else kick in and begin to pray. And all of a sudden I found myself again saying, God, you said that the prayers of righteous people are powerful and effective. We're not whistling Dixie here. We're doing business in the kingdom of God. And I see a heart for them. And I found myself more and more ache over the last several weeks and months. I felt myself ache for loss. And I know that the Bible tells me that my prayers are powerful and effective. And I know that the Bible tells me that I'm just like Elijah. And I know that I can make a supplication to God. I know that He's one in authority. But I got to be honest, sometimes I don't think I'm getting through the ceiling. I feel the ache of loss. Some of you have experienced great loss from loved ones, from decades, married for decades. Some of you have lost little ones that never had a chance to breathe the air on this earth. The ache of loss is great among us. The ache of loss is great in our world. Oh, loss, ache. And the ache of grief, some of you are still in the middle of grief. And you ache, and I ache. I got a new ache. I don't know, God, what are you doing to me? And the ache of disappointment, and the ache of rough news. Sometimes I just can't text. I got to call you. I've got to hear that you're okay. Because I know you're in ache. I know you're in challenge. I know that you're in suffering. I know that you're in pain. And I found myself turning this Psalm 35, the first 10 verses, from a supplication petition into a supplication intercession. Because I needed words. I was hungry to have words. And I know the Bible said when he didn't have words, he just groaned before the Lord. I know that the Lord can translate those things. But I want the words. I want the words, God, what do you want me to say? I'm hungry for words. I'm hungry to ask. I'm hungry to ask one who has the authority to do something here. I'm hungry for that. I'm hungry for the words of the aching and agitatedness of my soul. Supplication for an ache situation. Psalm 35, verse 1. And I've developed this prayer that's going to be in my prayer book. It's not only going to be in my prayer book, but it's going to be in my prayer life from this psalm. I'm going to learn from David when his soul was aching. He learned what he was asking for. And I'm not going to just produce a rote prayer that I think I can read out loud and God has to do something. I am not commanding God, but I need words. I don't know about you, but I need words. I need words to express my agitated soul when I am or you are in ache. Psalm 35 says this, "Contend, O Lord, with those who contend with me." Contend means to put yourself forward, God. God, I'm asking you to put yourself forward. I'm asking you to put yourself forward, God. So just let me, some of the words, I'm just building this prayer. And the prayer will be, I have it all printed out. You'll be able to take it with you in the end. But this is what I felt my heart beginning to pray this week. As I let this psalm guide me, not only for this petition for my own life, but more for the intercession of your life and the ache of our world. And I ask the Lord to contend with those that contend with you. And I ask the Lord, Lord, their ache is alive and very real. And Lord, I'm asking that you put yourself between them and their ache. God, would you just put yourself between them and their ache? God, I'm asking that you, Lord, I am asking that you join their battle. And my heart continued to pray as I looked at that verse and I said this, Lord, I'm asking that you let them know that you are on the battlefield. That's what I want. I want you to know that God's on your battlefield. Miranda, he's on your battlefield. He's on your battlefield. And I'm asking God to say, I want you to know that God's on your battlefield because that makes a difference. And I want him to stand between you and your ache. I want him to heal you from ache, and but I need him to get between you and your ache. And may, Lord, may they have to look through you to see their ache. See, God will deal with your ache. I'm not asking just for a blank slate and get rid of the ache. I'm just asking for God to stand between you and your ache so you see God before you see your ache. Because I know this world is full of ache. I really do. I know this world has suffering. I know this world has its own challenges. And I know they're not going away. But I'm asking for God to get between you and those things. That you would see him clearly and the ache would become something that is in the distance away from God rather than your ache here and God in the distance. Has anybody felt like my ache is close and my God is distant? I for one am praying that that switches up in your life, that your God is close and your ache is different. I know you got to go through some stuff. I don't want you to, but you got to. But your ache doesn't have to be on the end of your nose. Your God can be on the end of your nose. And I'm asking that God would contend with those things that contend with you. To get in the way, get between you and your ache. God, Lord, may they look through you to see their ache. Verse 1 continues, contend with those, contend, O Lord, with those that contend with them. Fight against those who fight against me. See, he's just not asking. I'm just not asking for God to get in your way. Now I'm asking for him to turn around and say, hey, in the name of Jesus, here comes my God. Fight against those who fight against me. Fight against those that are fighting against you. Just so you know, when I say stuff like that, I have people's names in my mind, and I want to cry them out, and I want to scream them out. And I'm thinking, God, you know what? If I scream their name out loud here, it's gonna mess with them. And God says, I need them messed with. I want them to know. I want them to know that I will stand between them and their ache. I want them to know. I want them to know. I want them to know. And I want them, and I will fight. And the word fight there means to wield power. God, I'm not asking you for you to stand in the way. I'm asking now that you wield your power. You can push the button. I wield your power. Lord, wield your power. Lord, their ache is wielding power that is too much for them. Lord, I am asking that your power would squelch their ache. Squelch their ache's power and increase their power. This is what my heart wanted to say on Monday. God, give me words. And somebody said, well, you did all right. I don't want to do all right. Pastors don't always have the words to say. God's giving me the words. And this is what I've been praying. This is what I'm praying for some of you, that new aches in your life and an ache of the dad that's in the Erie. God, Lord, I am asking that your power would squelch their aches power and increase their power. Look what he says in verse 2. Take up shield and buckler. Arise and come to their aid. I'm telling you what, if David can ask for it, I can ask for it. You know what a buckler is? It's not a thing you hold your pants together with. A buckler is just a small shield. It's like a rifle and a handgun. It's like a shield and a buckler. Double protection. He said, God, take up the shield and the buckler and arise and come to my aid. Come to their aid. Protect them, Lord. And I found myself saying, Lord, I ask that you would come to their aid. Lord, I ask that you would protect them. Lord, I ask that your shield, that you would shield their mind and their heart and their soul. And I'm asking, Lord, that the daggers of ache would be prevented from causing more wounds in their life. Prayer for ache. God, that's what I want. Lord, I ask that the daggers of ache would be prevented from causing more wounds in their life. God, get between them and their ache so they can see you. And God, when you're there, I'm asking you to wield your power. I'm asking you to take the power out of the ache and put it into them. And God, I'm asking that you would take your shield and your buckler. God, I'm asking that you would protect their mind, their heart, and their soul. Because I don't know about you, when I'm up against an ache, my mind grows weeds. It never grows corn. And we could stand in the gap for one another and say, God, I'm asking that you would come to their aid. In the first few times I use this prayer or speak these words, I'm going to need it wrote out. And I'm not the least bit ashamed of reading a prayer that God's put on my heart. Look at verse 3. Say to my soul, say to their soul, I am your salvation. Can you imagine asking God to do that in someone's life? God, I just want you to say to their soul right now. God, say. As we anoint this person, as we come alongside of this person, as we pray at a distance for this person, God, I'm asking that you would say it. Tell them, God. Tell them, God. Apparently, I skipped verse 3a. Brandish spear and javelin against those who pursue me. Spear and javelin against those who pursue them. The offensive weapons now that God, he got the shield and the buckler, and he's protecting, and we're asking to come to his aid, but now we're asking God to do battle. We're asking God to stand in the way. We're asking God to fight, and now we're asking God to protect, and now we're asking God to do battle. It's perfect. Beautiful. Lord, do battle for them. Lord, their ache is pursuing them. Lord, defeat their ache so it cannot defeat them. I need that. In Jesus' name, I'm asking you to stand between Arlene and her ache. I'm asking that you would do battle for her. I'm asking that you would protect her. I'm asking that you would send your shield and your buckler in her life. I'm asking that you would wield power, and I'm asking that you would take power from her ache and you would put it back in her, because it doesn't deserve her power. She needs her power. And I'm asking that you would take the buckler, and I'm asking that you would protect her, and I'm asking that you would do battle for her, and I'm asking that when the ache pursues her, that you would pursue the ache. The ache would find itself being chased by you, God, as it's trying to chase Arlene. And I'm asking that you would defeat the ache before it defeats Arlene. In Jesus' name, I want Arlene to run across the finish line, not walk with a cane across the finish line. You want to know what my heart's thinking this morning? That. Oh, I'm glad for canes. I don't want you to have one. Say to my soul, I am your salvation. Can you imagine hearing that from God? Asking God to do that. And I found myself with these words. Lord, say to their soul, I am your salvation. Lord, plant that truth deep in their being. Lord, may they hear, I am your salvation internally and externally. I'm asking that God would say that to you so you can hear it with your outside ears. And Lord, I'm asking, Lord, say to them, I've got you. Say to them, God, that you are not alone. Say to them, God, you're not going down. I'm asking, Lord, will you say that to them? Say it to them, God. Tell them you're their salvation. Verse 4 says, may those who seek my life be disgraced and put to shame. May those who plot my ruin be turned back in dismay. And I've written in my own prayer here, said, Lord, I'm not done yet. Lord, I'm asking that you take this ache and you stomp the life out of it. And Lord, I'm asking that the disgrace and the shame and the dismay that this ache has placed on them be extracted from them and put back on the ache. And Lord, I am asking that any life that this ache has robbed from them be extracted from it and returned to them. Verses 5 and 6. May they be like chaff. I mean, it's got to be, just to be honest, it's a pretty strong wind that can move a bale of hay, a pretty good wind that can move the chaff. And I think God's saying, I'm going to grind that into dust. And I'm going to blow it away. May they be like chaff. It's not them. It's not you. It's not me. It's the ache that he's talking about. May the ache be like chaff before the wind with the angel of the Lord, which is Jesus in the Old Testament. May Jesus drive them away. May their path be dark and slippery with Jesus pursuing them. For crying out loud, this ache ain't going to pursue you because it's being pursued by Jesus. That's good stuff. If you ever want to say amen in anything, that would be a good time to say it. Woo! Yeah, see, I know you want to do that. It's just kind of weird, isn't it? When you're sitting down, it's kind of weird. I think I looked in the legal documents. It's legal. Lord, I'm asking that you take this ache and grind it into dust. Lord, I'm asking that this ache finds itself being driven away by Jesus. Lord, I ask that this ache would be in fear of Jesus. Amen. Since they hide their net for me without cause and without cause dig pits for me. May ruin overtake them by surprise. May the net they hid entangle them. May they fall into the pit and come to ruin. And I found myself praying this. Lord, I'm asking that the return of this ache be impossible. verse 9 says this, "Then my soul will rejoice in the Lord and delight in His salvation." And I found myself saying this, "Lord, I ask that You return their joy." That You return their joy, which is my definition is a heart smile. God, would You return their joy? Lord, I ask that You would fill them with delight. Man. Ache hurts. God, I want them to be filled. I want Alice to be filled with joy. And I ask that You would fill them full of delight. My whole being will exclaim, "Who is like You, O Lord? You rescue the poor from those too strong for them, the poor and the needy from those who rob them." I found myself saying, "Lord, I ask that You take any remaining remnants of this ache and You turn it into worship accelerant." Amen. That this ache is meant to have taken their life and to cause them grief, that anything that's left would be infiltrated into them and they will stand in worship of You, God. So here's my prayer. Lord, it's me. And I'm here on behalf of Joe, Alice, Arlene, Emily. I'm here on behalf of Miranda. I'm here on behalf of the Mervines. Lord, their ache is alive and very well. Lord, I am asking that You put Yourself between them and their ache. I'm asking for You to join their battle. I'm asking for You to let them know that You're on the battlefield with them. Lord, may they have to look through You to see their ache. Lord, I'm asking You to wield Your power. Their ache is wielding power that is too much for them. I'm asking that Your power would squelch their ache's power and increase their power. It squelches their ache's power and increase their power. I'm asking that You come to their aid, God. I'm asking that You protect them. Lord, I ask that You shield their mind and their heart and their soul. I ask that the daggers of ache would be prevented from causing any more wounds. Lord, do battle for them. Lord, their ache is pursuing them. Lord, defeat their ache so it cannot defeat them. Lord, say to their soul, "I am Your salvation." Lord, plant that truth deep inside their being. May they hear, "I am Your salvation," both internally and externally. Lord, say to them, "I've got You. You are not alone. You're not going under." Lord, I ask that You take this ache and You stomp the life out of it. I'm asking that the disgrace and the shame and the dismay that this ache has placed on them be extracted from them and put back on the ache. I am asking that any life that this ache has robbed from them be extracted from it and returned to them. I'm asking that You would take this ache and grind it into dust. I ask that this ache finds itself driven away by Jesus. I ask that this ache would be in fear of Jesus. I am asking that you return, that the return of this ache would be impossible. I ask that you return their joy. I ask that you fill them with delight. Lord, I ask that you take any remaining remnants of this ache and turn it into worship accelerant. In Jesus' name, amen. That's what I'm praying. Stand with me today. I timed myself praying that prayer. 2 minutes, 10 seconds. The prayers of righteous people. Listen, not prayers of people that always get it right. Prayers of people that have a relationship with Jesus Christ are powerful and effective. You're just like Elijah. Supplication, intercession, here we come. Father, thank you for these moments together. And thank you that you've given me ache. Lord, even at this moment, my stomach aches. And Father, thank you. Thank you that even though there is suffering and aches in this world, that you are a mighty, loving, gracious, merciful God. And Father, I know that I can ask, why does this happen? But I'd rather ask, God, can you get between me and this ache? Can you get between the individual and their ache? And Father, can you just unleash in their life and wield your power and protect and guide and direct and defeat the ache and return the power. Father, I thank you for Psalm 35, 1 through 10. I thank you for how you transformed my heart this week. I'm thankful that you have taken this ache and gave me an agitated soul, so that I would seek out, what can I ask for, God? I don't know about anybody else, but I happen to think, God, that this prayer is powerful and effective. So, Father, here we go. We're going to say amen here in a couple of seconds, and we're going to turn around, and we're all going to leave. But, Father, I pray that we're not the same as when we come in here. And some are going to turn off their TV because it's going to go dead because we're going to quit broadcasting. But I pray that even in the living rooms that we wouldn't return to normal. You would find a body of believers that would be active in supplication, intercession. And Father, I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Titus and Caleb will be out in the entry with copies of that prayer if you want one.